Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamond.
And this is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
How are you, Robert?
I'm feeling really sporty.
No, really? Why?
I know, it's actually a word you've like never,
I'd never think that would ever spill out of your mouth. Go on.
Yeah, and I'm not feeling like a Spice Girl, you know, like Sporty Spice
sporty
or
spice.
Today. But I am feeling quite sporty because even though we're in lockdown, and I know all of my friends and also a lot of our listeners are getting quite frustrated because they're not able to exercise as much as we could before. Yeah. In the UK, we've been lucky enough that we're allowed to go out once a day to exercise. And I did a little kind of jog. I wouldn't say it was a run, but I did do a little jog today in my local park.
A little saunter.
A little saunter. And it got me thinking about today's guest. And why is that, Russ?
Well, because today's guest is like one of the sportiest, if not the sportiest guest we have ever had on Talk
Art. Seriously. Yeah, and also
seriously sporty,
really, really successful sportsman in America.
This guy is like a 5 times all-star. He's won the NBA championships with the Cavaliers in 2016. He is one of America's best basketball players. And we are honored because he is a newly found art fanatic fan. Like us, he's an art geek, and he is also being led by one of the blazing lights of information in the art world, one of the most incredible art advisors out there, and we have got them both on as a pairing, which is such a treat.
I know, which is also very unique to Talk Art, because normally we just have one guest, and I'm loving that we have two different people.
The collector and the art advisor are going to have a conversation. Yeah.
So we would like to welcome to Talk Art...
Kevin Love and Jane Suter.
Hey guys, thanks for having us.
Welcome.
An introduction.
How are you both today? How are you, Kevin? Where are you in the world?
I am in Cleveland, Ohio. So actually where I live during the season, where I play during our season, which takes place pretty much October through, if you're any good, which we were for 4 years. We went to the NBA Finals and played through June. So, but right now, pretty much social isolating, social distancing, staying at home and trying to stay in shape for when the basketball season resumes here.
What's it feeling like there? Is it this experience now? I mean, it's surreal for everyone, but how are you taking this?
No, it's really, like you said, a surreal time to navigate right now. I mean, there's so much stress. There's so much anxiety. For me, it's always the fear of the unknown. What's coming the next day, let alone the next several weeks, and what, you know, the world as we know it is going to look like, you know, from here on out. I think this will, you know, really change us in some ways. How we interact and how we move forward. But I do think on a positive note, you know, this will change us for the better as well. It's just, you know, the long-term effects will play out over time, but we just don't know what those will be. But, you know, hopefully a lot of positive will come from this. And you know, as human beings, we're super resilient.
Exactly. And then we're here with Jane Suter. Hi, Jane.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
Where
Jane.
Are you in the world?
I'm in London. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a grey, aeroplaneless sky. I mean, usually there's a plethora of aeroplanes flying above the house in Chelsea, and I haven't seen one for days.
Do you get used to the noise of the planes and now it feels eerily silent? You just become part of, like, the sounds.
Yeah,
of the house.
I enjoy hearing them. You know, they're just part of the kind of like natural environment there. They're like the birds singing. You know, you
the
don't.
Aeroplanes flying. All them songs.
It's really funny because in Margate, where I live, I often hear like road noise of buses or traffic, you know, from
exactly.
afar. And now it's just silent. And last night,
yeah.
I actually had to leave my house for like 2 minutes just to pick up a tin can that had been rolling up and down the street. And it was the only thing you could hear.
And it was echoing really loud.
But it really was. And it was so weird that I was like, it's actually making me feel strange. So I had to go out and I eventually found it. It was on the other side of the road, but I found it and put it in a bin because I was like, I can't
do this. What an amazing story, Rob.
Because you're so noise sensitive now.
You're like a bat. So,
Kevin, what is it like for Kevin though? Because if you're an athlete who's always, you know, constantly doing exercise, how frustrating is that? Or are you managing to do stuff at home?
So I'm actually, I'm very fortunate to have an in-home gym, but the hardest part for me is not working out with any natural light. So I have it downstairs where, you know, I have my free weights. I have, you know, some cardio that I can do, but there's just nothing quite like getting out there and playing the sport that I love. It just, there's nothing that compares to staying in shape that way. And you know, the grind of a 82 game plus season. It's just, it's different right now and super frustrating. And it's a way to, listen, exercising and making sure that your body and mind are right are a way to alleviate stress, especially in times like this. But not being able to actually have that human interaction and going into practice and playing games and playing in front of fans, it's just a...
and with your teammates, I guess.
And with your teammates. I mean, you develop, you know, for me, I'm the oldest guy on the team now. Jeez, 31 years old.
And my so old.
Granddad.
I'm so old, Jane. Yeah, yes.
31.
So oh, I'm wow. like the established wow. veteran on the team. And, you know, it's funny because on our plane, when we travel, I get to talk to, and this is what keeps me young. I get to talk, sit next to our rookie who's 19 years old and just, you know, kind of see, you know, feel out what he sees in the game, see what his life is off the court, where his family wow. is, where he's from. But, you know, now we don't get that we don't get to have that, you know, in person, in the flesh, physical interaction. Everything is through, you know, our phone and virtually kind of like what we're doing here. So that itself, yeah, is kind of what I mean when this is definitely going to change us, but we'll find different ways to stay in touch and stay on top of that. So when we come back, it'll just be, you know, kind of an easy segue to getting back into things.
Well, hopefully. So you're a 5-time All-Star, but aside from that, another passion in your life is art. So how long have you been into art and collecting art, and how did you and Jane form a working relationship and a friendship now?
Yeah, well, Jane, we met, how long ago was it? I mean, it must have been around, 4 or 5 years ago now?
Yes, yeah, I think that's right. I had to come to LA and I had to have a meeting with you, and I was up against another art advisor who remained
really?
Nameless.
Oh, it's an audition. You had an audition.
It was an audition. I couldn't believe it.
No
it's
way.
Never happened to me before. But
that's
I was
great,
determined.
What a challenge.
I was determined that I was going to win whatever it took.
Yes.
Because it was such a kind of novel, new experience for me.
Why was you looking for an art advisor, Kevin?
I have so many passions and other interests, I should say, outside of basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, basketball is not, you know, it's kind of like that cliche of it's, you know, in sports or, you know, people and what they do, what their main focus is, their North Star is that, you know, basketball is what I do. It's not who I am. So, you know, for me, it was, you know, really just wanting to, you know, navigate this space in a way that, you know, made me really, really happy. And I always make vision boards. I always find ways to, find, you know, the best kind of things out of life. So,
well, you know what you liked, but you wanted like an education. You wanted someone to step in and really guide
education,
you.
Education, yeah. And yes. As Jane knows, I'm an avid reader. So I said, you know, just send me as much as you can. And if you've been around Jane and talked to Jane enough, you're always excited for what she's going to say next. And
exactly.
That
definitely, yeah.
extends
yes.
beyond the the world of art. And also, I'm a relentlessly curious person. And that comes without fear or prejudice. So yeah. in a way, in talking to Jane, it was, you know, me being intellectually self-conscious because she knew so much more than I did, and especially in the art world.
No,
so I was
come
like,
on,
so I was
you
like,
know as much as me now.
This, I want to be around this person a lot as much as possible, just because she's such a, you know, I hate to say it here when she's listening, but she's a delight and, you know, has taught me, you know, really a lot.
I felt
so
exactly the same.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Towards myself and you.
Right. So Jane, how did you go about, teaching Kevin? What was your first kind of references that you wanted to bring to him?
Well, I've got to tell you something. First of all, he's been incredibly modest, and he's a bit of a Renaissance man himself.
Oh, yeah.
Because, as he said, he's an avid reader. He's a great wine connoisseur. He's a fabulous traveller. He appreciates gourmet food. He's an expert when it comes to films. So, you know, this is a talented guy who really is showing that it's important to have a plethora of hobbies outside the basketball court. I do know that when I first met him, I gave him a book. It was a Thames and Hudson book called something like Why Your Child Couldn't Have Done This. So yes. It was a kind of gentle introduction to art history, kind of charting the advent of photography and explaining very gradually how art moved away from the representational towards the abstract. So I gave him that as a kind of like gift to seduce him, to have something to take away from our initial meeting. And then we just started this kind of like back and forth dialogue. I'd sent him information on artists and he'd be very honest. He'd say, nah, I don't like that, or yes,
like
that's
what?
Fantastic.
Who, for example, haven't you liked then, Kevin? Who has Jane sent you you've been unresponsive to?
Yeah, I think initially I was just always drawn to, you know, like Jane had just mentioned, my other interests, and one of them being film. Like, you know, one I particularly, I'll tell you what I did like was Ed Ruscha. Right out of the gate, whether it be a lot of his texts and, you know, very famous pieces of his, like, you know, The End. It's like that dream of, he always has that dream of the, you know, especially here in America, like the American West or a better life. And, you know, being a film and cinema lover, that's why the End appealed to me initially, just because he has that such a cinematic sensibility in his work.
And say that he hadn't heard of Ed Ruscha. I mean, this is someone who was brought up to speed so quickly and was able to kind of grasp like the history of art in its entirety. So, you know, he hadn't heard of Ed and other artists that we added to his collection. So he was learning super quickly and deciding who he really wanted in the collection.
Do you feel a big responsibility, Jane, when you're in this position with trying to craft a collection with someone and build something and educate them in the process and really have that kind of marriage suddenly together in art?
I do. But it's something that I'm passionate about, so it comes naturally. Mm-hmm. And I want them, well, in Kevin's instance, I wanted him to really have a predominantly blue chip collection, you know, that could really take him throughout his lifetime. And I was kind of nervous to get him too many emerging artists. So I wanted him to have something really, really solid. Yeah.
To then build around,
Yeah. To build around.
It's also nice to hear, though, that because for me, as a gallerist, I always find the collections I love the most are when it's not just an advisor saying, oh, these are the people you should buy, but instead the collector themselves, you get their personality. And it very much
sounds,
Kevin, like even though Jane might have sent things to you, you actually did say no to certain things, which is brilliant.
Sure.
And then you get to express yourself through what you're collecting. Have you found that?
Yeah, I mean, even if you were to walk into my apartment in New York City, I feel like you get a pretty good sense of who I am as a person and what appeals to me, and also what inspires me as well. Like, you know, if you look at you know, right as you walk in, I have a Richard Prince, and you know, I have that, like that dream of the American West, how I said with the Ruchets, and, you know, some of my favorite movies. And I always say in a previous life, I've told Jane before that, like, I was a cowboy and I was a plains drifter, and, you know, that all that appealed to me. And my favorite movies, you know, some of the big names in Westerns, like Clint Eastwood and John Wayne, The Duke,
right,
The Good,
right.
The Bad and the Ugly, Fistful of Dollars, Few Dollars More, like that really appealed to me. So initially, from that very primitive basis, the Richard Prince cowboy, you know, really appealed to me. And if you saw just in the furniture I choose, or you know, the, like I said, the movies I watch, or, you know, just my overall style, it's like Ralph Lauren, Double RL, you know, Colorado.
So it's very,
you know,
American. So your taste seems
his
to be like your
is,
taste.
Yeah,
not, you're very like
American
dream and very American and proud.
Yes.
And the imagery that we've all grown up with of what America is. Is,
yes.
You, like, well, that's great. So, and would you say you like text, and or do you like figuration? Do you know your sort of style you're going for? Or
there is a textural theme throughout the collection, because he's got, you know, Tracy Emin's piece, An Insane
what,
Desire
like a neon?
For You, a
oh,
neon.
Yes. Oh, really? Brilliant.
Yeah, from 2019. That's in a pink heart, and then he's got Ed Ruscha's work, which is all text space,
yes.
And Doug Aitken as well. So there are various themes running through the collection, and it is, you're right, it is mainly figurative.
Oh, absolutely. And one of my you know, actually, you know, kind of across, which from my Richard Prince is the Eamon. It says, An Insane Desire for You, and that's actually my girlfriend Kate's. And that's by design too. Thank you, Jane. That's her favorite piece. So actually when you walk in, you have, yeah, it's really a great one. But the Aitken is amazing. I have a walking piece of art in my dog Vestri. She's a Hungarian Vizsla. She's beautiful.
Yes.
And
love those dogs. Oh my god.
Yeah, oh, they're amazing.
She's beautiful.
She's beautiful. She has a lot of personality too. But I think it, all my entire collection, I feel like, tells a story and is who I am, and that's what I love about my collection is it's storytelling. It's like a great book, or it's like a great piece of film. So I think that's what drew me to those pieces initially, and you know, I had Jane you know, kind of helping me find what
yeah.
you know, kind of fit
oh,
in
I
the
do.
Wheelhouse of who I am. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Do you feel like you want to buy a piece of really nice art as a memory every time you get a big achievement in on the basketball court? So.
Oh, that is such a good point. 100%. Like if even when I turn, you know, 30 years old, I think it was a week after there was a Ruscha piece, and it was actually the end that I ended up buying, which, you know, Jane knows the piece pretty well. And that's it, you know, right. There in my living room as you know, a great piece that I see, and it reminds me of you know, a really
and
good
time of your
life.
30th birthday, yeah. And stuff. Great,
exactly.
Great memories.
Exactly.
Do you get to go out to galleries a lot? Do you experiencing like being in New York and Los Angeles and the spaces there and the collections?
Absolutely. So Jane actually makes it a point that anytime I'm in a city to message her and, you know, kind of see if there's anything I need to be looking at. So
we've been to Frieze together, and he's done quite a few of the New York galleries, and we've had the privilege of going to Ed Ruscha's studio as well.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
What was that like, Kevin? That's the dream for me. How was it?
Oh, it's, I mean, really, really amazing. He's just such a good man. And speaking of my 30th birthday, Jane, he actually, we had met, and he wrote me a, because I had started a fund around mental health, and he had written me a nice note that I actually ended up framing for my 30th birthday, just because he's such a nice man. The studio is unbelievable. Mm. It's like that was a dream for me as well.
And for me.
Yeah, right. So, you know, if you've
ever... Oh, my
ever...
God, we're both totally jealous.
And for
right
us,
now.
We're like open mouth, like, oh,
yeah,
so jealous.
Yeah, we are both open
yeah.
mouth because we love,
yeah.
love,
yeah.
love him.
Love.
He's the coolest.
Do you feel like now yeah. you build up this collection of really solid blue chip artist. You feel like now that you'd be more adventurous and go down the emerging artist route and look at people that have kind of been inspired by these artists you got and now creating work of their own language.
Absolutely. I mean, it's I always like origin stories. I like to know what makes people tick, but you know, I also like to know their process. So if it really appealed to me, it was you know, kind of in the wheelhouse of you know, everything that I've owned so far, I would slowly, you know, start to collect emerging artists, just because there's so much good art out there that I feel like, you know, in the first 4 or 5 years of collecting, I still haven't seen. And I think that's what makes it so fun for me, is there's just so much out there.
It's never ending, Kevin.
It's never ending. And that's what makes it so fun. Yeah.
It's the best though. And it is like, it is a life pursuit.
Who would you show Kevin now? If Kevin was saying, right, I'm up for looking at emerging artists, who would the people now be that you would push towards him to consider looking at?
I mean, I think it's nice to start in an art fair environment, because then he can look at them side by side. Mm-hmm. But I mean, anyone, Loey Hollowell, Jordan Wolfson, I think he may have seen Jordan's work.
Have you got your teammates into it, Kevin?
I haven't. I had a former teammate who, you know, had been to my place in New York and really loved, you know, Doug Aitken's work. And I said, listen, you're in Los Angeles. His studio's in Culver City, which, Jane, we've also been to as well.
Yes.
For God's sake.
Sorry,
who else is studio? Have you been to George Kondo's studio? Have you been there yet?
I have not yet. But I love his work as well.
You do? Do you own George Kondo?
Have you got his work?
I have a drawing of his, yes.
Ah, what is
it? It's a colour drawing, may I add.
Amazing.
It's a colour drawing. It's, you know, it's a kind of typically Picasso-esque abstract drawing from 2017. Oh, yeah, nice. It's beautiful.
Haven't you got one, Russ?
Yeah, I've got a drawing by him from 2007 of a woman with light bulb. And it's a very Picasso-esque woman. It's not you haven't got the grotesque butler figure in there, but of his alter ego. But it's like this woman, very beautiful woman with her boobs out, holding a light bulb, which, you know, is completely me.
Normally do.
As women do. They always take their bras off and then they hold a light bulb.
Yeah. That's what I'll be doing later tonight.
Right, Kevin? That's what women do.
What about when you were growing up? Because I heard that, which I was quite surprised about, you had a family connection to the Beach Boys. Is that true?
Yes, my uncle is Mike Love of the Beach Boys, who's actually the lead singer. Mm. And the Wilsons... Brian, Dennis, and Carl, they are my cousins. So,
which is so wild.
Yeah, a whole other form of art in the family. So that's, I got to say he's you know, pretty brilliant. And so is Brian. And, you know, how they were America's band for so many
you're thinking of music being art, I mean, that is it. I mean, Beach Boys are the pinnacle to me, you know. They're totally incredible. I loved that you're connected to them, though. It's so kind of unexpected somehow as a sports
star. It is, isn't it?
But it's genius. And did you ever make art yourself, like growing up?
I didn't. I was... that is not something you'd want to see out of me, just like you wouldn't want to see, hear me singing. That wasn't something that I was blessed with, but always respected, you know, the craft, and always found a lot of inspiration from it.
Yeah, maybe that's also why you have such a passion for it now, because it's something you can't do yourself. Because I always find, I never made art, and I love it so much because I can't draw and I can't paint. And it's like, it becomes this kind of magical transformative thing to,
artists become heroes. You put them on pedestals, don't you? Because they're doing something higher. Art is always higher than us, I always find.
Yes.
Do you have dream artists now, Kevin, that you're like, I would love to meet this artist, or like, what would be someone you would love to meet, maybe dead or alive, or an artist's work that you'd love to live with now and own? And
I think you said one of them, and his studio's just up on the Upper East Side. There is George Kondo. He's one that has always appealed to me, and like you said, the balance between the beautiful and the grotesque in his work, I was always drawn to him and his work. So he's one of them. But also, I'd probably say you know, Basquiat, just because in New York he was such a you know, a darling of the 80s and that time with his you know, graffiti based art and you know, kind of had that story of you know, like I said, with I like origin stories and a lot of times humble beginnings where it was, you know, street to studio, died from an OD, and just had, you know, especially during that time, just so much influence on the world of art. I think that's probably somebody that you know, I would have liked to meet.
Jane, are you going to get? You going to be able to make that happen?
Yeah, I'm going to bring Jean-Michel Basquiat back from the dead.
Good.
She can probably
George
get
Condo
in the
studio.
DVD.
Yeah, the seance. You can, yes. Yeah.
Have you seen the movie? Have you seen the movie Basquiat? Kevin, have you seen the movie Basquiat?
I have seen the movie Basquiat. Yeah. Yes.
It's the documentary.
That was directed by Julian Schnabel.
Yes.
Is that the same
Correct.
One? Yes.
Yeah. Do you like his work?
Yes, I definitely like some of his. What would it be like the rose plate paintings were?
Yeah, the smash plate paintings. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
That would
some
look
of
great
his
in your
work
collection.
I really enjoy. Yeah.
And do you have any sculptures in your collection?
He's got an Anthony Gormley.
Yes.
Where is that? Is that in New York or is it? I guess
it's in New York. Yes. And what's amazing
kind of
about
work
that
is it?
it's literally the same. Color as my dog. It has that obviously, like a lot of his work does, that rust color to it. And
yes,
I've taken a lot of photos of them.
Can you send a picture to us for us to put on our Instagram feed when this goes out of your dog and your gauntlet? And we'd like one with you next to your Ed Rocher as well. Would be pretty cool.
Can I do a you guys can take a video too, obviously, right? Yeah, because she's there's a couple of her like crying right next to it, and she's just one of them's moving, and one of them's
It's really because she does. Is that because she doesn't like it, or
she loves it? No, it's great. It's funny because she gets to look out actually on it's the light hits it beautifully, and especially because we're facing west. So at the end of the day, the light, the sunset's coming in and hitting it, and the sun is, you know, glaring off of it, as well as my dog. And she's looking outside, and the traffic's going by, and she's crying, and she's like, "All right, take me outside. I'm ready to go."
Oh. Yeah.
Hello, this is Russell Tovey and Robert Diamond from Talk Art, the arts podcast, and we're here today with Budweiser beer, and we're going to be talking about something very, very important to both of us, aren't we, Rob?
That's right. Budweiser, the king of beers, has joined forces with legendary artist Sir Peter Blake, the godfather of British pop art and someone that both of us have adored since we were kids.
I've loved pop art since I was a kid, and Sir Peter Blake has been a constant for me, alongside other pop art artists, the Americans like Andy Warhol, Roy Lichtenstein, Keith Haring. And I got into pop art, Rob, because I loved cartoons growing up. I mean, I still love animation. But suddenly I discovered that so many artists were referencing comic strips and cartoons in their artworks, and I could go and see them in museums, and I suddenly didn't need to grow up. And Sir Peter Blake was one of these artists that meant so much to me. And I think people, if they don't know the name Sir Peter Blake, you would certainly know his work. The album cover for The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club, Oasis's Stop the Clocks. These are iconic art historical moments that this artist has actually been at the forefront of.
And you've met him, haven't you?
I've met him, at the South Bank Show Awards years ago. I was there for the History Boys, and he was there, and I got incredibly excited and met him. But you've not met him before, have you, Rob?
I have. I've actually even been to his house and hung out with him and his wife, and I got to make an amazing print with him, which was a huge privilege, actually. It was a real career moment for me. So Budweiser and Sir Peter Blake have come together to unite, and they have created an exclusive limited edition beer can, which doubles as a collectible piece of pop art.
And it was on display at London's Truerman Brewery on the 23rd and 24th of March this year, if you were lucky enough to get there. And also, were you one of the lucky few that were able to get one of the signed beer cans by Sir Peter Blake himself? And there was something very special there, wasn't there, Rob? What was that?
They've actually made the first ever fridge frame, which kind of is reminiscent of what we would be, you know, accustomed with in terms of a museum exhibit. Yeah. But this fridge frame is designed to display the limited edition can of beer as a work of art, but also keeps the beer cool.
Okay, I need a fridge full of fridge frames because this sounds incredible. So Peter Blake's work adorns the cans with all of his eye-catching simplicity. It features the Budweiser's iconic red bow tie logo. logo, but it's encompassed by the artist's signature and his use of block colours and icons. They unveiled this artistic can in all of its glory in one of these fridge frames, as Rob said, which is very exciting. The limited edition cans are available to purchase as a four-pack for a limited time only in selected Tesco stores nationwide.
Budweiser and Sir Peter Blake, thank you for bringing us this cultural moment. I love it when art reaches new audiences, and I really feel like this is going to go into everyone's homes, and is really joyous. So head over to Tesco, pick up a four-pack. Thank you, Budweiser.
But also, if you want to get this collectible piece of art at home, Budweiser also giving people the chance to own their very own exclusive fridge frame. Beer and art lovers can register their interest by visiting www.budweiser.co.uk/Sir Peter Blake collab. That's budweiser.co.uk/Sir Peter Blake collab. Budweiser and talk art with Sir Peter Blake. So we touched on it earlier about mental health and how involved you are with that. And you've set up, you're part of a big charity that's focusing on
mental
health.
It's his foundation.
Health. It's your foundation. Yes. Wow.
Yes, it's the Kevin Love Foundation.
The Kevin Love Foundation. Amazing. Yeah. So in the current climate, are you finding that, you know, it's more than ever, it's important that people really talk about mental health and think about, like, what's happening right now?
Oh, especially in the current climate. That's a good point. I think, you know, even as I mentioned earlier, too, just how stressful this time is. And, you know, a lot of people here in America are living paycheck to paycheck, trying to figure out how they're going to take care of their family, put food on their table. So just, you know, having so many people out of work and kids at home, and what this is going to mean for you know, everyone in any demographic long term. I think it's going to be extremely meaningful. Not only what I'm doing at the fund, but you know what the CDC is doing, the World Health Organization, and how people are paying it forward to help each other throughout this time. Mm-hmm. Just because it's got to be, you know, mentally so hard to you know, socially isolate yourself, because so many people are looking for that connection in their life. And if moving forward we come out of this, we don't, you know, take all the necessary steps right now, you know, these, you know, anxiety disorders, depression, bipolar disorder, you know, so on and so forth, it's just such a big thief of human potential. So at the fund, that's what we're trying to, you know, find ways to eliminate the stigma, educate people, find tools, and then also at the end of the day, continue research in order to make a big impact moving forward and have a huge paradigm shift in where we can take this thing and help everyone. So, 'cause it's such a big deal, especially in times like this.
Yeah, definitely. I've also been thinking a lot about the kind of local community and like what we can do to help people. You know, obviously it's a global issue right now, but also to remember that you can help people on the same street as you, even your neighbours. And I saw that last week you actually pledged money to help the Cleveland Cavaliers Arena and to support staff that are unable to work during this coronavirus pandemic. And I just think that's such an amazing thing you did and a really great example.
Yeah, thanks,
and obviously
Kevin,
you probably didn't mention it because I guess you don't want to like shout about your own gifts or whatever that you're doing to help people. But I just thought it was a really nice example of helping your direct community and a community that supported you. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are people that, you know, you start to have a relationship with and are, honestly, are part of my story. I've been in Cleveland for 6 years now. So those are people that I see, you know, 40 plus nights out of the year, and you develop a first name basis with them. You know, you ask about, you know, ask how their family is. And, you know, these are people that have, you know, when we won the championship in 2016, were there. So they're incredibly supportive. So in times like this, it was just, you know, I felt, you know, in a way it's therapy for me as well. It's therapeutic to know that, you know, I paid it forward and helped that next person. But as you mentioned as well, like whether it's locally on the street or locally, you know, to a food bank, everything helps. And
definitely, yeah.
You know, it's just, you never know if you're able to do it, you never know, you know, who else you're going to be able to help in this time, whether it be physically or mentally. And I felt it was something incredibly positive. And you saw, throughout the NBA, guys either, you know, offering meals to, you know, up to $1 million, or, you know, other people stepping up and giving to arena workers, other people stepping up and giving to local hospitals. So it was really after that, across all sports, really cool to see guys step up and just help their communities.
Mm. Do you think there's any way now that art can play into mental health and appreciating culture in that way that can help you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you see it. We go to the Cleveland Clinic, which is 10 minutes away. We're so fortunate to have one of, if not the best hospitals in the world, right down the street from us. But you see art all over the walls there. And actually in their cancer ward, their children's ward, they have tons of art and have the kids as a
That's
way
right.
of, you know, expression. And it's, they have art all over the place, and they have
that's
art
right.
books as
I've,
well.
I've actually worked. I've worked quite closely with the Cleveland Clinic. That's really crazy.
Well, in what way, Rob? What do you mean, like as a gallerist?
We've sold lots of art to them, and they actually exhibit in the children's
yep.
ward. And I've got a feeling Jonas Wood, who's an artist based in Los Angeles, he's recently just done a whole series of artworks
him.
That have gone. Yeah. Do you? Oh, great! So he's done a whole series of artworks for a children's hospital, which might have even been the same one. I'm not sure.
Oh, with the curtains, wasn't it? Was that
yes,
the one?
Yes, exactly.
Like the,
yes,
for the cubicle curtains. I remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the Cleveland Clinic that I work with are an amazing center. I think Jonas Woods was like a children's national hospital, actually. I think it might have been a different one, but I think it was in Washington, D.C. But I do love that when art can, you know, artists can come together and come up with creative thinking in different ways to engage people when they're, you know, suffering in hospitals in different places.
Yeah.
Amazing. So we ask every guest that come on, we ask them two very important questions. We've also got another question that's come up as a bonus because we're all in lockdown. But the first question I'll ask you both, Kevin and Jane, is if you could do an art heist, you could own any work of art in the world from anywhere and you can live with it, what would it be and why? And I'll go to you, Kevin, first.
Imaginary art heist. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I referenced it earlier. I'm going to say a Basquiat. The one sold at Sotheby's auction was
the one that broke all records.
Yes.
The one that was like 194 million or something. You just want that one. Okay, fine.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? Of course, I'm going to say that. Casual, right? And my next answer is going to be casual as well. But I mean, who does it? I can't get enough of that piece. Like, I have it saved in my phone multiple times.
Did you see it in person? Because the guy who bought it was so generous that he sent it on a tour of the world, which was amazing. It was at the Brooklyn Museum, wasn't it? And
I did not see it. Unfortunately, I did not see it in person. But that one actually really appealed to me. And then if this was like an all-time imaginary art heist, I would probably, you know, very, very subtle. And, you know, if you could, Jane, you going to answer that?
That's for a Basquiat. She's got you one lined up. She's just bought you the Basquiat.
Right. She just texted it.
She texted it and it's there.
Love that.
It's going to be delivered to your door tonight.
The deal's done.
Yes. Now go on, what you're saying?
No, I would say, you know, and this might make the news as well, like it had long ago, the Mona Lisa. I mean, why wouldn't you steal it if you could have the...
We can help. We are there.
You can help. Yeah.
We're going to bring you the Mona Lisa.
I appreciate
it's no problem.
It. Yeah, no problem.
You deserve the Mona Lisa. You deserve it, Kevin. Jane, then, this is an interesting question for you as an art advisor. What is your for yourself, for your personal collection? Because you collect as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I've been collecting since the age of 18 when I first worked for a gallery in Mayfair. So it's been part of my life forever.
Wow.
Well, first of all, if it's an art heist, I'm not taking Kevin with me because I don't know if you know, but he's 6 foot 11. I've never met anyone that's so
what
tall
size
in the
shoe
whole
have
of
you
my
got,
life.
Kevin?
We did see that because, yeah.
What is size shoe? I saw it on Wikipedia. It can't be true. What size shoe are you?
I'm an 18, and thank you for the extra 2 inches, Jane. I'm 6'9".
Every inch helps, Kevin. Every inch helps.
Russell called me last night and was like, how can his feet be that big? And I was like, Russell, he's a basketball player.
So, Jane, what would your work be then?
Well, first of all, he's not coming with me because he's just going to spoil
tall.
The whole thing. Because, you know, I'm thinking of like the Goldfinch or the Thomas Crown Affair.
Ooh,
I'm going to do it very kind of slickly. It's either going to be something tiny that I can virtually put into my pocket like Vermeer's The Milkmaid or Maurizio Cattelan's Mini Me. You know, I can just kind of slip that off the shelf.
You yes. could, couldn't but you? If I'm Somebody going... actually stole his golden toilet last year.
Exactly, from so Glenn yeah. Carolis.
Like his work has actually yeah. been stolen, yeah.
You must have seen the banana on the wall then this year in LA, wasn't
I
it?
Did.
A freeze.
No, it was in,
did you see that,
Miami.
Kevin? No.
It was in Miami.
It was Miami.
It was in Miami. Right.
There were queues of people trying to get in. It was crazy.
And I got the biggest shock. It was on the Sunday of Art Basel. I was on someone else's stand and suddenly people started running and screaming. And I thought, oh, my God, a bomb's going to go off. Literally, yeah. I'm going to be dead in a matter of seconds. So I went to investigate very carefully. And someone had actually just knocked the banana off the wall. That's all that had happened by Cattelan. But... wow. Honestly, there was such a commotion, you would have thought that you're about to lose your life.
Oh my God. There were so many memes and like banana. People eating bananas yeah. and like, oh, it was wild, wasn't it?
With mask
really. But the piece that I really want, guys, if I have to take it just down to one, I mean, for anyone in the art business, it's like asking an alcoholic what they'd like to drink when they're standing in a wine shop. So it's very difficult for us to, you know, decide which one piece we want. But I think for me, it's got to be Pablo Picasso's Demoiselle d'Avignon from 1907. That's hanging in the Museum of Modern Art in New York.
Yes.
Yeah,
because it's a watershed moment in art history.
Yeah,
it's
why do you think that was? What did it do? Why did it make such an impact?
Well, it's just so innovative in terms of the subject matter, in terms of the execution. You've got, you know, the body's been looked at analytically. It's, you know, it's a deconstruction of the three-dimensional form. There's so much going on. Gone is linear perspective. Gone is chiaroscuro. It's a new visual language. So for me, that is the piece. I want that monumental moment in art history hanging in my entrance hall with that incredibly innovative rendering of a woman.
Yeah,
I mean, if you think about how the woman was constructed previously in painting, if you think about Manet's Olympia or Degas or Titian, here was Picasso doing something utterly innovative that was utterly shocking in terms of the appearance of a woman. It, you know, it's a fantastic piece. So,
actually, that just got me thinking, Jane. You know, when you first started, you worked for Janet de Botton and she gave 56 works or so to help form the Tate Modern in 1906.
So
you must have come from this kind of really rich history of like, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that particular painting, because I've always felt with you that you have this real understanding of art history, and it's not just the contemporary, but then you sort of fell in love with the contemporary. So... nowadays, you're obviously advising many different private individuals, and you're also friends with lots of well-known people. And I saw an amazing video that Victoria Beckham posted in, I think it was 2016, on her Instagram, of her in her Yaya Kusama infinity room. And in the background, I was watching it, and in the background, I suddenly heard your voice going like, "Are you okay in there, Victoria?" And I was like, "That's Jane Suter." And then I realised that she'd actually tagged you on the video. So your enthusiasm is so brilliant, because it kind of has led, you know, leading figures to art. When I think they maybe, you know, I'm sure they had an interest before, but I love the fact you actually take your friends to see shows, you know, in real life and not just look at books. But how did you become an art advisor? Because it's like, it's such a great thing. Yeah.
To see everything in the flesh. I came, it was purely by accident. It was many, many years ago when dinosaurs were walking on the earth. I was working for a gallery in Mayfair, and it was a friend of a friend who asked if I would help friends of theirs who were living in Los Angeles. And it was, you know, it was very organic. Art advisors didn't really exist.
Right.
People didn't think about employing somebody, about using someone to help them put together an art collection. Because if you think back to the 1980s, there was only a handful of collectors in the UK. There was definitely under 10 British collectors who were really engaging with the contemporary. There weren't any more than that.
Yeah.
And they were doing it because they absolutely loved the innovative, and there was nothing in terms of commodification. They weren't buying because they thought it was a good investment. They were just buying because they wanted to engage with something new, and they wanted to decorate their homes. And as we all know, it's incredibly addictive because you become part of living history. You engage with the artists, you meet the gallerists, and you really see what is going on and the issues that the artists are engaging with.
So the second question we ask every guest is very simple for both of you. What is your favourite colour?
Yeah, no, for me, it's actually really, really simple and easy. For me, it would be either like a pine green or a forest green. I'm from Portland, Oregon. And actually, you know, I'm Nike started in my backyard. So,
really?
Eugene, Oregon, Portland, Oregon, you know, Phil Knight and Bill Bowerman, he actually says in his memoir, Shoe Dog, that literally on the first page, it says, if you're from Oregon, the trees have your back. And it's so true. Like you don't realize that these, you don't respect it, or you take it for granted when you don't realize these massive pine trees or Douglas firs are in your front and backyard, and it's really like all you see everywhere. And my girlfriend Kate, as I mentioned earlier, is from the Pacific Northwest.
Who's gorgeous, by the way.
Thank you, Jen. Thank
and
you,
tall.
Visually.
Yeah.
Extremely tall. She's absolutely fantastic.
She's 19 feet tall. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We love her.
And she likes to hold a light bulb in her hand at night when she takes
like
off her
women
bra.
Do.
She sure does. She sure does. I look forward to that later.
What's your favourite colour, Jane?
Guess. No. It's purple. Purple.
Oh. It's, why purple?
I love purple flowers.
Do you?
Yeah, I love purple flowers.
Bluebells? You like bluebells?
Bluebells, delphiniums, agapanthers. I just love purple flowers. Purple.
Hot.
Yeah.
Very good.
I could tell you about purple, but, you know, I think I'll just keep it simple.
I'm loving the nature connection. It's really weird. I've actually got a memory of coming to your house, not in London, but the one in the countryside that your husband won an award for being the architect.
Won a Reba Award.
Reba Award
for the house in the country.
Richard Found. Yeah, he's a really great architect. But I went down to the countryside
and saw
your beautiful house there. And I think you had purple flowers that day, like on the table in the kitchen.
I'm sure.
So it's true. I've actually experienced it. It's real.
It's not a lie. That is her favourite colour, listeners. So the last question we ask is, what is your hidden lockdown talent? Something you've discovered you can do, which if you hadn't been in this current climate, you might not have never known.
Jane. Hidden lockdown. Go ahead, Jane.
Or Kevin, you go. Or both things. Jump in whoever's ready.
Mine would be drinking absurd amounts of wine, I guess, because I...
Oh, really?
He's a wine connoisseur. What do we expect?
I just opened a couple boxes of Italian reds. And finally got it all up on the shelf. And I said, okay, now I need to actually start opening them up while I'm on quarantine. So hidden talent, though.
Because usually, you're not able to drink, I guess, when you're training.
Not.
Clearly not. Definitely not.
Yeah, not as much.
Don't let him tell you otherwise.
As you would in the off season, so
yeah.
Do you have a red there you'd recommend?
A red, I like Super Tuscans. I like big and bold, and you know, things you could almost feel like you're drinking out of a chalice in Middle Earth. So like
Game of Thrones sort of.
Yes,
wine. Yes,
exactly.
Got it.
Yes.
Yeah, medieval.
Have you been taking your dog out for long walks or anything like at this?
Long walks. Yeah, I mean, the best thing about having a dog is that it forces you to get outside. So
yes, I got three here. Yeah.
We've been going to some, you know, metro parks and dog parks, and not seeing too many people, but throwing the ball around for the dog, and she loves it. She's proud, and just runs around and uses up all that energy that those type of hunting dogs have.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you've become a... Or, no, sorry, you already were, but you've realised that you're a great parent to your dog, so that's very sweet.
Yes.
He's an amazing dog parent. Yeah. Oh,
you can, down red
Russell
wine.
Is too, so you no two are going to get on very well.
Yes, Kevin.
Yes.
Dogs United. And you, Jane, what is your hidden talent? Lockdown.
I've learnt how to use my Hoover very successfully.
Oh my God. It took a quarantine for you to do that, right?
Let me tell you something. I have a very sophisticated Hoover.
Sophisticated cleaner, yeah.
You can know. My Hoover right. is very sophisticated.
Yeah.
It can Hoover carpet, hard
well, that's
floor,
what it's for.
Curtains,
oh, okay, yeah.
and everything. I didn't realise there were different settings.
So no, you've actually attachments. Yeah, so the attachments change everything. Wow.
I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. I'm hoping to build up to painting my nails. That's what I'm hoping for next.
Right, well, wow. And
amazing.
You've never done that. You've always
You're
had someone else to paint
your nails. You're
going to
become an incredible manicurist.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to become an incredible
Hoovering with the
manicurist.
Most beautiful nails.
Well,
yes.
I request that you, when you do that, send us a picture and please make it like purple nail varnish. That'll be really glamorous.
Okay,
yeah.
Prince, I'll do that.
Prince,
sometimes
the musician, late musician, would approve.
Yeah,
I love
rain.
A bit of Prince.
Well, you
well,
guys,
you
this has been incredible.
Has been
Thank
so
you so
fun.
Much. So fun.
I've
if you
loved
want any
every
images, if you want any images of what we've been talking about today, please go on at Instagram at Talkart. And Kevin, are you on Instagram?
I am. It's just my name, Kevin Love.
It's Fat Kevin Love. But he also, I must just say, he has 3.2 million followers, so he's definitely
3.
On Instagram. 2. He's incredibly present and popular on Instagram.
I had a look on your Instagram and I couldn't see a lot of art on there, Kevin. I want to see more art.
He's
I think
private.
People want to see your collection.
Yes. Okay, I'll make sure of that.
Okay.
I've got 3 followers.
Yeah, that's us, Kevin,
that's
Russell and Rob, and Talkart. Yeah.
I'm the same, Jane.
Compared to Kevin's 3.2 million.
Yeah. What's your Instagram?
I'm just Jane Suter, following in Kevin's footsteps.
Loving it. Well, thank you so much,
I'll
both
give
of you.
A plug,
it's been
Jane.
So fun.
Yeah. Give us a plug too, Kevin, when we put you out.
Yeah,
that'd be
sure,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've
and please
loved
send us
so
some.
Much. It's been so
yeah.
fun.
It's been so good. Yeah, please send us some images, Kevin, of the dog, your dog with the Gormley.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, this was my first time talking about art at length, so I hope I did okay for an athlete.
You were fantastic, and also I think it's so wonderful to bring together different worlds, like to bring together sport and art.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows people that. You know, art is really for everyone. And that was kind
yes,
of the whole purpose
absolutely.
Of our show. So I'm really grateful for you for speaking about it with us because it is wonderful to hear how much it's touched your life and how it's going to continue to. You know, it's a lifelong pursuit and it's a wonderful, wonderful adventure that you've begun. So thank you for
well
sharing
said.
It with us.
Thank you so
absolutely.
Much. All right, cheers
thank
everyone.
You so thank much,
you.
Guys.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diament and Russell Tovey. Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in this episode. Subscribe to Talk Art at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.